Morning. If you are new with us here, I want to welcome you and introduce myself. I'm Pastor Andrew, and I'm blessed to be the pastor here at Grace Brethren Church. And it is a joy and a privilege to have you all with us here together as we come and worship our amazing God this morning. And on top of that, we're excited that you have joined with us during this time of transition and growth for us as a church. Because out of our love for Jesus Christ, we've decided as this body to come together as God's people and ensure that we're doing all that we can to be a church that is on mission of developing healthy relationships with Jesus Christ. And if you've been with me and with us through this, or you've been a lifelong member here, you're seeing this pattern happen over and over again. Week after week of me sharing this. And again, I want to give you the why behind what I'm doing. Well, I share this reminder to all of us that we are in the season of transition to acknowledge there are areas that we need to grow in. Things that we can look at and say, I think this needs to be addressed and reworked so that we can be a place that is more inviting, that we can begin to speak into the truth, speak truth and life into others, and give God the glory as he works through us. But even in those changes in trying new things, I always want to ensure us and help us to be on task and remember that even though our message that our message will always stay the same, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth behind his life, his death, and his resurrection will never change. But the vehicle in which we experience it and share it with others can and will. And so I pray that as we're in this time together, that you continue to give us grace, that you would share your feedback with us, and you'd help us to grow closer to the church that God is preparing us to be. And in all of that, we've been focusing this entire year so far on in our time together on love. We've begun our conversation by defining it for us. And we've seen our call to that kind of Christ-like love that we're called to have. And now we've been looking at love through the lens and the eyes of Jesus in this latest series, Loving Like Jesus. Now, last Sunday, we dove into that a little bit deeper, and our call to love those, as we looked at Jesus' words on the matter, on the sermon from the Sermon on the Mount. And what we carried with us was that we were meant to love all the way to our enemies. That we were meant not only to love those who are our neighbors, who are easy to love, but our love should extend all the way to those who would be considered our enemy. That those two things aren't two different calls, to love your neighbor and then to love your enemy, but to love them both equally. And we recognize that the only way we can love in this is because of God's righteous love that he has for everyone. And that love is righteous because he still gives it to us as fallen and broken people, his enemies. It is something we can only experience because of Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. And finally, we saw from Christ's words and that call to be perfect as God is perfect, is that we are the reminder that God is the standard of love. That we need to look to him as the model of how we are to love one another, while humbly admitting that the only way that we can love in this manner that resembles this righteous love is by his helping grace. And I hope that you're still praying for that person that we took time during our service and prayed for together that might be considered your enemy. That God would be first working in your heart to pray for those who do you harm. And then to help you to begin to love them as Christ loves you, and that mending would begin to take place among you. And so together this morning, we're still going strong in our series on loving like Jesus. And we're doing this to see in order to put this call to love in practical terms, to see how we are meant to love as and be on mission for what he loves. And to do that, we have to address one of the biggest areas and one of those biggest hurdles as fallen and broken people. And Jesus not only spends a good amount of his time bringing this to our attention in the Sermon on the Mount, but throughout his entire earthly ministry, he brings up this section and this topic that we're going to be talking about this morning over and over again and addressing it head on. And together, that topic this morning is about our possessions. And in talking about our possessions, I want to start with this disclaimer. You know, this is not a bait and switch type of message where I plead to that you need to put more money in the plate, because newsflash, we already passed it. We can't do that anyway. But that's not what this message is all about together. You know, I want to start by thanking each one of you who generously and joyfully give to the mission and ministry of our church. And I pray that you continue to do so out of a place of love and not out of forced obligation. What I want to accomplish from our time together this morning is to help us to be really honest with ourselves and help us wrestle with the question, do I love my possessions in the way that Christ wants me to love them? Or have they taken captive of my heart? Do I love my possessions in the way that Christ wants me to love them? Or have they taken captive of my heart? You know, this message, and my hope any time that I stand behind this pulpit and open God's word for us, is not meant to guilt trip any of us in any shape or form. You know, Jesus himself never used guilt as a manipulator and or as a motivator. Neither did his apostles and his followers. And I vow to do the same and follow my Savior's teaching. We need this conversation that Jesus delivers to us if we're ever going to love like he does. Because if we're pouring our love into the wrong places, like our possessions, we won't have room to love in the manner that he himself has called us to. And instead of starting with that bit of anxiety because we're going to be talking about money and possessions and treasures, or just hardening our hearts to it immediately because I know where you think you might think you know where this one's going, let's begin with a time of prayer, asking that God would guide us in our minds and our hearts as we address such a touchy subject together. So let me pray for us in this moment. Heavenly Father, we come to you once again. Lord, as we as a church wrestle through such a touchy subject for a lot of us, Lord, we know, you know, how much of a touchy subject this is because of how much of an emphasis you made this in your earthly ministry. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just shut off our minds and our ears and our hearts to this, but Lord, we would begin to allow you to speak to us of those areas, of those things in our lives that we put over you, whether they be physical treasures or not. Be with me this morning as I deliver this. May your truth come forth. May you be ever so present. And may you be glorified by what is said and what is done here. And may you receive all of that glory. We love you, we thank you, we praise you in all of these things. Amen. So we're still in the Sermon on the Mount together. We're going to be in Matthew, we're still jumping around through it. We're going to be in Matthew, that's the first book of the New Testament. We're going to be in chapter 6, starting in verse 19 and going to verse 24. You can follow along in your own Bible if you brought that. If not, you can follow along on the screens behind me or in one of those red pew Bibles there. That is on page 1508. And again, this is Matthew 6, jumping into the Sermon on the Mount, verses 19 to 24 is where we parked at today. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So picking up in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going to give us three commands, overarching, as someone living as one of his followers. And as you kind of read through, and this is a little bit going further in his message, the first is store up your treasures in heaven, to don't be anxious, and to seek the kingdom of God. And this morning is all going to be about just the first one, to store up your treasures in heaven. And so starting out, we have to define what that word treasure means here. You know, and in this, I really like this word treasure that Jesus uses in this context. And he is very careful to use such piercing language to describe our possessions. Because this word treasure defines all the things in our lives that we give value. These things in themselves, well, they can have tangible value. But most of these treasures that he's addressing are the ones that we assign value to. You know, just in this, an instance to kind of help you understand this, you know, if I pulled out my wallet right now and I showed you a $1 bill, we all know it's worth a dollar, $1. Why? Why is it worth $1? Because of the fancy design of George Washington on the front of it, or the paper, the ink that it's printed and used to create it? No, of course not. We all agree that it's worth $1 because we've assigned that value to it. And once we all come to agree that this piece of paper has value, it begins to take on a new kind of influence on our lives. Because we'll center our entire life on getting more of those dollars. And when the $1 bills won't cover it, we'll go for the fives, then the tens, and collect as many as those large bills as we can and be like Scrooge McDuck and go swimming in the wealth that we've collected for ourselves. And that obsession for more treasure starts seeping into other areas. You know, the amount that you have can affect on the people that you surround yourself with, the places that you go or the places you don't go, the type of food that you like to eat, and how you live your life. That influence reaches into so many areas, and if we aren't careful, those can really mold us into someone that we barely recognize. I bet we all know people who have put their eyes on this type of treasure and valued it that way, and they've done it so much they've become a completely different person. And in this, there are three truths that Christ lays out when he talks about our treasure. And together this morning, we're going to dive into three different areas in that. And here's the first one, is that we all live for treasure. We all live for treasure. You know, whether you can actually dive headfirst into a pool of gold coins, or you don't have two pennies to rub together, we all live for some sort of treasure. Though Jesus doesn't say this directly, it's the given set point here and the reality for all of us, that we all live for some sort of treasure, or he wouldn't be talking about it. Because we all live for the pursuit of something. We all give value to something in our lives and chase after it relentlessly. You know, for some, that treasure that we live for is actual wealth. You know, we want the biggest house, we want the fanciest car, and we want a yacht to retire on. And you use all of your time, your energy, your resources, finding the next big thing that is meant to bring you joy and satisfaction, and you ride that wave all the way to the bank. And that is your life goal and your obsession. That is what you live for. You might be here this morning and saying to yourself, you know, that isn't me. I don't need the latest and the greatest. You know, I'm actually generous with my money. And I'm comfortable where my bank account is at currently. And if that's you here this morning, praise the Lord. That is great. But what if that treasure for you isn't a physical item? What if your treasure is how others perceive you? That you are so drawn in by the approval of others that you will go above and beyond to make sure everyone knows where you are, what you are doing, and you crave that attention every chance that you get it. You know, maybe you live for the treasure of power and control. That you want to be in the room where it happens. That you use your influence to bulldoze everyone so you can end up, at the end of the day, swoop in and take all the glory and the praise and the credit. You know, I could go on and on about example after example. But at the end of the day, there is something that we all live for. Something that we all treasure, that we live our lives for. All things that we all live for, that we treasure, good or bad. So let's just read verse 22 again to see the second aspect about these treasures. Verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You know, leading up from this idea that we all live for treasure, Jesus reveals to us the reality that what controls what you treasure controls your heart. What you treasure controls your heart. Because once that thing, once that treasure, tangible or not, when it becomes your most famous and most sought after possession, it will consume your heart. It will take over your thoughts, your desires, and your emotions. You'll fill your entire day thinking, how can I keep this? Or how can I get more of it? You'll go to the places where you can get more, where you can spend more or attract more from others. You'll use your time and your effort in showing off that treasure to ensure everyone knows that you earned it, that you have it, and it's yours and not theirs. You'll stay up at night when the future looks bleak on obtaining more, or your store sheds are showing low sign of dwindling. You'll chase that high of those treasures to places you wouldn't normally go as a follower of Jesus Christ. It takes captive of your passion, your time, your drive, and all that you are. So here's the third principle that Jesus gives to us. Not only will that treasure control your heart, let's jump down to verse 24 and read that together. It says, "No one can serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So here's that third principle. What controls your heart controls your life. So they kind of have this flowing pattern together. This third one, what controls your heart controls your life. You see, whatever takes center stage in your heart will direct everything else in your life. Whatever you serve dictates how you will live your life. What is in your heart, what has its hold of it, will come out in where you spend your time, where you spend your energy, and where you spend your resources. It's the inescapable reality of each and every one of us. But even in these hard realities for us, there is still hope, and that's given to us by our Savior. Because if you notice, Jesus makes a distinction when it comes to our possessions here. He categorizes them in two specific ways: earthly treasures and heavenly treasures. He tells us that those earthly treasures in this text, those have earthly treasures are temporary. They're easily destroyed and lost. But those heavenly treasures are the complete opposite. They're eternal. They can't be taken away and they can't be stolen. You know, those earthly treasures, they rust, they break down, burn up. That car that you obsess over, that skin routine that you have down to a T to ensure you look youthful forever, the stock market fund that allows you to go golfing every day, all of those things are temporary, fleeting, and won't matter past this life. But heavenly treasures, like loving all the way to your enemy, living my life by the set standards of the kingdom of God, sharing in the grace of Jesus Christ, are all heavenly treasures that can't fade away, will never be a waste of time, and will remain true throughout the test of time, is what we aim for, what we are called as followers of Jesus Christ to store up and to share. So I'll ask you this question. What set of treasures do you live for? What set of treasures do you live for? Earthly or heavenly? You know, the natural immediate response for us is, as Christ followers, would be heavenly ones, of course. That's what we're here for. But I believe if we're honest and we actually searched our hearts, it wouldn't be as an obvious answer for all of us. That it wouldn't hold to be 100% true in all of us that we seek heavenly treasures most of all. I believe Jesus gets to the core of that in the middle section, where at first glance it seems like he's going off in a different direction. So let me draw your attention back to verses 22 and 23. It says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" You might be thinking, Jesus, you're talking about treasures. Why inject a lesson about our eyes and light right here? Well, Jesus being Jesus here makes perfect sense in what he's doing. Because if you think about this metaphor with me for a moment, if you have good, healthy eyes and you see well, as you enter a room, your eyes will take in, scientific little stuff here, your eyes take in that light and you're able to make sense of everything in that room. But if you enter in that same room and your eyes are blind or you don't have good eyesight, it doesn't matter how much light is around you. You aren't able to get your barriers and know what is going on in that room. So what Jesus is getting to by sharing this is that our treasures can blind us. So our treasures can blind us. We know this to be true because no one ever thinks of themselves to be a greedy person. You know, especially those people that we can see are greedy people. They themselves would never admit that they are greedy or say, "I'm so generous. I give away X amount of my money." They never actually see it. It's harder to see in ourselves than we would in others. And going a little bit further than that, I'd like to share this quote that I found from John Piper that speaks to this issue very well, in the area that we as Christ followers can kind of become blind to when it comes to our possessions. And in John Piper fashion, if you know who that is, he's kind of wordy and a little way, way smarter pastor than I will ever be. So let me share this with us and I'll kind of break it down. But he says, "The greatest enemy of hunger for God, the greatest enemy of hunger for God is not poison, but apple pie. It is not the banquet of the wicked that dulls our appetite for heaven, but the endless nibbling at the table of the world. The greatest adversary of the love of God is not his enemies, but his gifts." Talking about God's gifts. "And the most deadly appetites are not of the poison of evil, but of the simple pleasures of earth. For when these things replace an appetite for God himself, the idolatry is scarcely recognizable, and because of that, almost incurable." And what John Piper is getting to here, and what we need to wrestle with this morning, is this question: is, do we love our gifts? Do we love these treasures more than do we love the giver of those gifts and treasures? Do we love our treasures more than the one who gives us these treasures. So I'd ask you, what treasure controls you? What drives you? And what do you live for? Because the problem with that apple pie, those apple pie type of treasures of this world, is that they are all just about me. It's all on me. They focus on how much, it's a focus on how much I can have, what others think about me, and how I can seek satisfaction. But the danger in that, in these things, is that they will never satisfy. That there will be never enough zeros behind that one in your bank account. There will never be enough people that you'll be able to influence. There's always more to obtain, and it never satisfies. You know, John D. Rockefeller said it best when asked, how much more money would it take for him to find true happiness? And his answer, just a dollar more. Just a dollar more. I believe we as a culture who live for the excess don't even realize the majority of the time or our struggle with loving the right treasure. And not just for us today, but it's a major struggle in the hearts of every fallen and broken person searching for true treasure. That's why I believe Jesus talks about this so heavily during his earthly ministry. So the question becomes, what's our goal? What do we walk away with? How do we love like Jesus in this? You know, in Luke's retelling of this message, Jesus adds a call to the end of this similar discussion. He tells us as he breaks this down for his listeners, to sell your possessions and give to the poor. Now, does Jesus really mean in this moment to give up everything, to sell it all and give everything to the less fortunate? Yes and no. Jesus is not condemning us having possessions and treasures. He knows that we all need basic things to live off of. And at the same time, he isn't saying that we can't have some want items in our life either. No. Instead, Jesus is offering us an alternative. To live for the treasures of heaven. Not to be consumed by the treasures of this world that will fade away. But to let him and his kingdom have full reign of your heart. Because by his life, his death, and his resurrection, we have been welcomed into the kingdom of God. And it's a kingdom that will deeply satisfy your heart. It's a kingdom that will lead you to a place of true contentment if you let it. Is a kingdom that will give you the joy of investing in things that will never fade away. Things of absolute eternal value. So as we close, I'll ask you again, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Is it on the things in this world? On things that at the end of the day won't satisfy? We'll keep asking for more and more and constantly pulls us and turns us into people that we aren't. Or do you love the treasure? Do you love your treasure like Jesus loves? Do you love that treasure that Jesus loves? Those treasures in heaven that will never decay, that can never be stolen, and will last forever. What has your heart? And what has your life? Will you pray with these things with me as I close? Mighty, powerful God, we come to you in this moment. We thank you for this truth. We thank you for being willing to address the main issue in our lives. Lord, this isn't a message of condemnation about the things that we have, the things that we like. Lord, it's addressing the issue that's inside of us, our sinful and broken hearts. Lord, you created us with the ability to desire, to want, to seek after something. But Lord, in our own disobedience, we chose to place our possessions, our treasures, fame, glory, self-glory over your glory. Well, that's been true from the beginning of time when we've fallen short of your call on our lives. And that carries with us, each one of us treasures something. Whether it be good or bad, Lord, we all treasure something. Something that we live our lives for. And Lord, those treasures that we live our lives for dictate our heart. And from there, when it's in our heart, it will tell our hearts how to live our lives, and it will consume our life. And Lord, the doom and gloom of that reality can be transformed when that treasure shifts from earthly treasures, things that will fade away, things that won't matter in the next, and this truly don't matter in this life and really won't matter in the next, to things of storing up those heavenly treasures, love, peace, the ways that you have called us to live, recognizing that you are above all. Lord, I pray that that would be true of us. Lord, I pray that would be true of me. I wouldn't be focused on the things of this earth, the things of this world. Spend all of my time, my energy, my resources chasing that next great thing. But you would be that great next thing that I'd be chasing after. May that be true of all of us as we seek after storing up those heavenly treasures and sharing in that with those around us. May we love the things you have placed in our lives in a way that resembles the way you want us to love them. Continue to be with us as we grow in this area together, and may you be with us through it. Be speaking to each one of us, and as we wrestle with this week, what has my heart? We want to give our hearts to you, Lord. Be with us as we go through that. It's in your name we pray all these things. Amen.